The book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read from verse 12 through to verse 17. Exodus 20, beginning at verse 12, and then we're going to read through to verse 17. But today our focus will be on verse 12. Let's pray before we read God's word together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true. We thank you that it's reliable. We thank you that we can trust in all that it says. And we pray, Lord, that we would have an open heart to consider your word today, that we'd be open to be challenged by it, that we would be determined to listen intently and to respond with an obedient heart, even though what we are called upon to do is difficult for us. So, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be at work. Use your word in us. Give us that obedient heart. Change our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that you would unstop all of our ears today, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, even through my words or apart from my words, but through your word. Speak to the hearts of your people today. Hear us, our God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read Exodus 20, beginning at verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Well, we're working our way through the book of Exodus, and we've come to the Ten Commandments. We've already looked at the first four, and now today we're going to examine the fifth commandment. These commands express God's will for people, for all people. This is how he wants all people to live, more particularly his people. But they relate to all people. They tell us, in a summary way, what is right and what is wrong. What we are to do and what we are to avoid. There is much in this command. And I did wrestle and struggle and to condense it. There are so many areas that I've not touched on today, but the areas I've chosen to touch on are ones that I think highly relevant to our congregation. So in our time together, we're going to apply it particularly to our situation. Highlight some of the main things. We're going to look first at the command, and that's going to take up most of our time. There's three parts to that. Three ways that this command speaks to us. And then lastly, we're going to look at the fact that there's a promise that this command ends with. Indeed, Paul refers to this command as the first commandment with a promise. In Ephesians chapter 6. So that's how we're going to approach this passage today. So the command, honour your father and your mother. Honour your father and your mother. And as I've said there on the outline, there are three ways that we can apply this command. Children must honour their parents. Parents must train their children to honour them. And lastly, we must honour those in authority over us. So let's first think at the first point, children must honour their parents. To honour means to respect or to prize highly. That's often the way scholars try to express the meaning of this word, to prize highly. It actually comes from the Hebrew word kavod, which means, which is used and often translated to glorify God. It means to be weighty, to be venerable, to prize highly. And now honor differs, of course, according to age. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that it means something different for young children than what it means for older, grown-up, adult children. But it speaks to all children, and that really is all of us, isn't it? We're all children. For children at home, that includes young children, teenagers, even perhaps older or young adults. For children at home, this command looks like obedience. That's at least included in it. It's not limited to that, but certainly that's part of it, obedience. I've already referred to the Ephesians 6 passage in 1, where he repeats this. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It is right. And then he goes on and quotes this command, showing that this command is still relevant to the Christian community. And we read from Colossians 2, which says a similar thing. That obligation of children to obey their parents. Now this seems to me to be somewhat countercultural. At least it's not something that is valued so much in our culture as it has been valued in days gone by. And as I watch some of these kids' movies, unfortunately, get roped into it, but you watch the kids' movies and often you see that the cool kids are the ones who are disobedient to their parents. And it's interesting how often the kids' movies actually portray the kid as right for disobeying their parent and the parents, they're sort of ignorant and they need to be taught by their children. They need to follow their children's lead. And that kind of flavour goes out in our community of, with the environmentalism and all of that, The parents have made all the problem, the children's now up to you to fix the mistakes of the parents. So why obey your parents? They've messed up this world. But in this, brothers and sisters, we need to stand apart. Our kids must be different. Children, those children among us, God says to you, obey your parents. Obey your parents. And this is so right. It is so right, as Paul says. Obey it because it's right. It is so right. Jesus, the perfect Son, did this. We're told in Philippians 2, verse 8, that he obeyed the Father. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Children, your Savior saved you by his obedience. That's how important it is. And you are called to follow him as he obeyed his Father. And so if you're listening to what I'm saying, it may be that sometime after the service, maybe when you go home, you might need to apologize to your parents for being disobedient. And that goes for maybe older teenage children as well, who have not always been obedient and respectful to their parents. But you also must go to God. This is serious. This is serious. Children, obey your parents. The Lord is speaking to you. And you must feel that. You must understand that. Well, as children grow, there's something of a transition from obedience to showing respect. It's a difficult one. It's progressive. It's bit by bit. But as the relationship changes, so what honor means at least changes in emphasis. There's less of an emphasis on obedience. So when they're very young, it's, you know, obedience is a big thing. But as they grow, it becomes, you know, the parents are less and less issuing commands, but more that the obligation falls to showing respect. My understanding is that eventually the children come out from under the authority of the parent, and so that obligation to obey is much less. But Genesis 2:24 says, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother." And to leave his father and mother doesn't mean location, because they could still be in the house, you know. But it means that, that we come out, we form a new family unit, there's a new authority structure there. So they may not have to obey, especially these grown children that have gone out of the home, they've formed their own family, they're living far away. I don't think they're still under the same obligation to obey their parents, but they still must honor their parents. We must prize them highly. We must continue to treat them as superiors. We listen to their advice. We don't speak ill of our parents or unnecessarily publicize their failures. Of course, sometimes it might be necessary to publicize their failures, especially if it's criminal. But we don't unnecessarily publicize their failures, even if we don't agree with the behavior of our parents or parent, or even if we do not agree with the way they brought us up. We still must honor. We still must value the relationship that we have with them. Honor includes something else. Honor includes providing for them in their old age. Jesus spoke to this in Matthew 15. But particularly, Paul addresses this issue in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 to 4. Let us hear, brothers and sisters, of our obligation to our aging parents. Paul writes to the church, "Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God." Honor means we show we value them. And we cannot treat our aging parents as if they've outlived their usefulness and put them somewhere to waste away their days in loneliness. That is unacceptable. We need to honor them in their age. We still need to value them. We still need to learn from them. They have so much to teach us. And as Paul suggests here, we need to treat them with gratitude for raising us, for looking after us, for changing our nappies and clothing us and feeding us and providing. So children, honor your parents. That's the first thing. Second, parents must train their children to honor them. This command is also about parenting. In a sense, I think as I read this command, it's God's number one principle for parents. You know, it's the only command that directly speaks to parenting because it mentions the child and child-parent relationship. And this command tells us the main thing in this relationship between parents and children. Your children must honor you because God has placed the parents in authority over them. So what I'm suggesting is really, you know, parenting and the obligation and guidance for parenting is summed up in this command. Of course, there's more to be said. But this really is the heart of parenting. A child must honor you because God has placed parents in authority over them. Now that means that you are in charge. That means your children must obey you. That's the goal. They must not call the shots. You are the one in authority because you know better. You have more wisdom. They need your wisdom. It's protective. And so, do not let children disregard your authority. If you allow your children to disregard your authority, what you are doing is teaching them to disobey. Teaching them to disobey. You're teaching them you don't have to take seriously what mum and dad say. You can do it if you feel like it, but if you don't feel like it, you can just ignore us. And we can't do anything. We're powerless. You're the one in charge of your life. That's what we're teaching. And we can't teach that. They are not in charge. You're in charge. Ultimately, God is in charge. And so, parents, you must teach your children to obey first time, every time, without delay. First time, every time, without delay. Don't teach them to obey you only after you say three. Because then you're allowing for a period of disobedience. And parents, you must discipline your children. Because you need to show them that obedience is important. It's vital. You cannot let them disobey. It's harmful to them. And don't give in. Ultimately, it's selfishness when we give in. We give in because we just can't be bothered. We give in because it's just too hard. Don't give in. Don't give in. It's often said, you know, pick your battles and win every one of them. For their sake, not for your sake. It's not about you, it's about them. Listen to what the wise man in the book of Proverbs says. Proverbs 23 and verse 13 and 14. He says this, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he'll not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol." It's rescue. You're on a rescue mission. Another proverb says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of reproof will drive it from him." You're on a rescue mission. These little kids are sinners. And the most destructive thing to your child is their sinful heart. And you've got to address that. You've got to address that. You're not managing children. You're teaching them, you're instructing them, you're leading them in the Lord's ways. I know this takes great wisdom beyond me, that's for sure. But I would encourage you, if you're a parent, especially with young children starting out, talk to others. Learn from them. Get as much wisdom as you can from them. And of course, talk to God. Oh, how many times I have not known what to do and I just must come to the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me. My heart's breaking over my disobedient child. Guide me what to do. Guide me what to do. Help me, Lord, to make good decisions for them. But the other thing I would say in regard to this, parents, as I exhort you to use the authority that God has given you, I would say also make it easy for them. Make it easy for them. Don't make it hard. It's already going to be hard because they have a rebel heart within them. They don't want to submit to your authority. They want to get away with as much as they can, but don't make it any harder than it already is. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Do not provoke them to anger. Colossians 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. We can damage our children by our foolish and harsh use of our authority. Oh, when I look and reflect upon my own life and I see how often I have used the authority that God has given me selfishly. And what damage I've done to my kids when I've done that. Don't do it. Don't be harsh. Don't be arbitrary. Don't use it selfishly. Because this is to abuse your authority. God has given you authority, but not for you. He's given you the authority for the good of your beloved children. It's good for them. So, brothers and sisters, as we struggle to be parents, make few commands, but stick to them. But I would just exhort you, encourage you, maintain a good relationship with your children. And that can be some of the hardest things, to both discipline them and maintain a good relationship with them. Avoid being angry and hostile. That will exasperate them. That will embitter them. They will lose heart. If you're always blowing your top and yelling and carrying on, don't do it. But be gentle. Be gentle in the use of your authority. In a sense, I think the goal is to train up our children so that they are happy under authority. Happy under authority. They're always going to be under authority. All of us are under authority of one kind or another, and it's a blessing to be happy under it. Happy under your boss, happy under your leaders of state and nation. It's a blessing. But even more importantly than that, to have them happy under your authority is vital for their relationship with God. The fifth commandment is the first commandment relating to how we treat people. It comes straight after our obligation to God, the first four. The next one about parents, there's a similarity. In many ways, the parent represents God to their children. Well, that's scary. That's scary. How they see you is often how they will see God. You are teaching them how to relate to God, the one who gave you the authority, the source of all authority. And so if we are harsh as parents, we're representing God as harsh. If we are absent as parents, always too busy to spend time with our kids, then how are they going to see God? Oh, God's too busy. He doesn't really care about me. If we are lenient with our children, then we could be saying that God is a pushover. If they disrespect and disobey us, most likely they will learn to disrespect and disobey Him. Is this what you want for your children? Well, of course not. Of course not. So, brothers and sisters, the authority that God has given you, use it wisely. I'm sure there's much more that could be said about parenting. There is so much more. There's a whole Bible that really speaks to parenting. But hear me in this. Please, don't get this one wrong. You will get many things wrong as a parent, but aim to get this right. That is the use of your authority. Now again, as I said to children earlier, that they might need to go and apologize to their parents. Parents, you might need to go and apologize to your children for the use of your authority. It is important as parents to tell your children when you fail. And tell them, when mum or dad did that, we were not representing God well. Please forgive me. Don't think the worst of God. Well, thirdly, we must honour those in authority over us. All the commandments contain principles that can be applied more broadly. Honour starts in the home with our parents, but extends to all those who have legitimate authority over us. The Apostle Paul, having spoken about the obligation of children, moves on to slaves and masters. And Paul's encouraging the slave to submit to their authority. But also in Romans 13 and verse 7, Paul tells us to honour those in government who are over us. Honour our state and federal leaders. We are to honour them. And this is owed even to those who are unkind and unjust. Now, we tend not to be very good at this. It's hard to honour those that we think are doing wrong. It's hard to honour those who we know from God's word are doing evil things and passing evil laws. But still, we must honour them. Even if at times we as Christians, because of our conscience, are brought to disobey the rulers of this land, still, we are never permitted to dishonour the position that they have. In honouring the authority, we honour the source of all authority, which is God Himself. When we dishonour those in authority over us, we dishonour God. And I'll say it this way. When we speak ill of those over us, we're not really doing much harm to them. The only one that's really being harmed is Jesus. Think about that. We are rebelling against his authority. He's the one in charge. He's permitted them in that place. We're rebelling against him. That's the connection Paul makes in Ephesians chapter 6. Even with unjust masters, you're serving Christ, he says. Now, of course, we don't want to harm Jesus. We don't want to rebel against his authority. We don't want to harm his cause. But I think as Christians, we've failed miserably in this. We have been just like the world, and it's a disgrace. It is an absolute disgrace. When we speak evil of our leaders, sure, yes, right, we don't agree with the decisions, but we have to honour their position of authority because it's been given to them by God. That's my understanding of Romans 13. It seems fairly clearly the right understanding of Romans 13. So let's be different. Let's not follow the world. Well, so much for the command then in these three ways. Children, honouring their parents. Parents, teaching their children to honour them, and then honouring those in authority over us. Lastly, then, the promise. The promise. At the end of this, we read, honour your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, this promise shows how important it is to honour your father and mother. It also is something of a motive to stir people to want to do this. It's a good thing. It leads to good things. There's blessings to be had. We must understand how this world operates. It's God's world, and in God's world there's an authority structure. That's how God has designed this world to operate. Not as independent individuals, but there's an authority structure in every form of life, not just in the family, obviously in the church too, and school and other parts of life, country. That's how God's designed this world to work. And if we live according to God's design, there will be blessing. But if you don't, there will be harm. And that's true for all people, Christian or non-Christian. Life will generally go better for them if they learn to honour their parents and therefore learn to honour those in their workplace and so forth. Life will go better. Originally, the promise related to Israel as a nation. If children honoured their parents, then Israel would remain in the land of Canaan for a long time. If they didn't, their stay would be short. Before long, Israel as a whole would crumble along with their relationship to God. And that is why this command is given such an importance in terms of the penalty for disobedient children. A few commands. In Exodus 21:15, if you strike your father or mother, you will surely be put to death. He who curses his father or mother will surely be put to death. Leviticus 20:9. Deuteronomy 21:18 and following. If a child is persistently disobedient, rebelling, eating and getting drunk and all of that, that's what it describes in Deuteronomy 21. Then the parents are to bring that child, obviously a grown-up one, but still living under their authority, is my understanding. They'd be stoned to death. How serious is this command? The very existence of the nation of Israel depended on this command. You can't just push it aside. Now, Paul extends the application of this promise beyond Israel in Ephesians 6:3. he also individualizes it, meaning he applies it to individual children, not just to a nation. He says it will go well with the child who obeys this command. It will not go well for the child who disobeys this command. Again, life will be better for the individual child if they learn this. But what if we failed? What if we failed? What if we've made a mess of it? Well, as a nation, I think we have. And we are reaping the rewards. If we continue in the way that we've been headed, if we continue with our children dishonoring their parents and parents not using their authority properly, it will continue to lead to a further breakdown of our society. Even though we might have elected the best leaders possible, because the rot starts here in the family, and it's fixed there as well. But I don't want to simply apply it in that way to our nation. I think we must all admit that we've failed, haven't we? We've all failed. Boy, oh boy, when I think of how I treated my parents, it's disgraceful. And as I said before, the way I've at times treated my children, again, disgraceful. We've all failed. We've all disobeyed. We've all dishonored those we should have honored. Parents have failed. We've harmed our children. And in many ways, we've disqualified us from the blessing that the verse speaks of. And we must confess this and repent. We must own up to this. We can't keep on excusing it. We can't keep sweeping it under the carpet. We need to confess it to God. We need to confess it to others, especially those we've affected. And we must repent before God. We must ask His forgiveness and ask for His grace to live differently. But my friends, I don't want to end there. I don't want to end there. I want to end looking at the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus came and He lived the life we failed to live. It's amazing how often Jesus stressed His obedience to His Father. He said, I did everything my Father has commanded me to do, and apart from His command, I've done nothing. And He obeyed all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. And on that cross, He was treated with the utmost shame and dishonor. He was disgraced. He was mocked. He was spat upon. And of course, that's not hardly anything compared to the judgment that fell upon Him for our sins. He was on that cross for every time you and I have disobeyed. Not only God, but our parents as well. He was on that cross being dishonored for every time you and I have dishonored our parents. For every time we've dishonored our leaders, even our premier. Jesus was on the cross for that, to bear that penalty. But the great news is that He did not fail. He did not fail. He was obedient right up to death, complete obedience to the Father. And because of his obedience, what has he won for us? He's won this life that this verse talks about. Long life, eternal life, life in heaven, life with the Father. That's what he has won for us. And he's won it for all who come to him. For all who come and submit to him as their Lord and their Saviour. For all who own up to their sin and repent of it before him. For all who want to live a new life of following him. Jesus died and paid the price so you might be with him in heaven forever. The blessing forever with the Lord. Well, may the Lord grant to us, each one of us, ears to hear his word and hearts to embrace the truth of this command. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, when we look at you and we see that you are so different from us, we see your obedience, complete obedience, even in the face of the greatest pain and suffering. And we look at ourselves and we see how easily we have disregarded the way of obedience. We've disregarded, Father, your commands. And we've disregarded the commands of our parents. Oh, how we have failed. Lord Jesus, you're our only hope. And we seek your face. We thank you that you've come and lived this life to save us. You have obeyed to rescue us. You've obeyed so that we might have the blessing. And we praise you and we trust you wholeheartedly. So Lord, help us today to embrace the things we've heard and to go on our way with joy and with obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.